give a kid who it makes us honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right, comes back to the left, going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Finally, it is official. Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, members of the Cleveland Browns, Isaiah Trufant as well. And it is also official that the Browns' offer sheet made to wide receiver Andrew Hawkins of the Cincinnati Bengals has been signed. Cincinnati now has 5 days to match that offer to Hawkins. And we're going to talk about all these guys in great detail. I am thrilled to let you know, joined by the one and only Notorious VIC today. And Vic, we're going to have Carlos Dansby calling into the show at 1:45 p.m.
Nice.
Today, I'm excited to talk to him. Thought he was great in the press conference. Had an opportunity to speak with him a little bit yesterday before and after that press conference. He is a guy who, in his own words, is here and he is on a mission and he is ready to become a dominant or to continue his dominance. He wants to be the best defensive player in the league. I liked the press conference yesterday. Notorious, what were your thoughts on what you heard from Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby?
I thought the messages were really impressive, and I liked the one that you started with, Carlos Dansby, because here's a guy very unfamiliar, as he admitted, with the climes of Northeast Ohio or the Northeast in general, at least to now make this his home. And he acknowledged the fact that, okay, I'm coming from Arizona. I grew up in the South, born in Birmingham, Alabama. This is all new to me. He said, there's something about this city. And he goes, I'm not quite sure what it is yet. But and I love that. I mean, it's right from the heart. It's honest. And it told me that his motives in coming here, and look, obviously, it started with the Benjamins, and he got enough of those to be convinced to sign with Cleveland. So I'm not being naive about that. But I, you don't necessarily have to add anything more than that. You're here, you're playing. But he went into this whole idea of being on a mission. He kind of made this sound like there's a calling to be part of the Browns and to make them a winner. He is coming off the best season of a professional career, and that doesn't often happen to players in year 10. It has with him, clearly, the effort he put forth for the Cardinals last year, and now he wants to translate into something special for the Cleveland Browns. He's here more than just filling the DeQuell Jackson gap. And as far as Dante Whitner is concerned, I think the whole speaking from the heart about coming home to Cleveland, and again, although he's here to help the Browns win, he wants to do more for this community. He talked about the inner city. He talked about where he grew up, and there's a lot of people struggling and a lot of young people looking for some level of guidance, and he's going to try to provide as much as he can. I thought that was a great message, too.
It was a great message, and in addition to what we're going to bring you for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 850 WKNR on Cleveland Browns Daily, there is a lot of great content put up at clevelandbrowns.com yesterday, and I really would urge all of you to check it out. We have articles written by Vic about each of the three new members of the team, Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, Isaiah Trufant. We've got video pieces on all those guys. I give a kind of a quick synopsis on Dansby and Whitner, what they'll bring to the team. We also have them mic'd up.
Good job on those, by the way. Very good work by you.
I appreciate that, Notorious. It's kind of you to say. And we also have a one-on-one interview that I did with Dante Whitner yesterday, about 5 minutes with him, talking about what it means to be here, what fans can expect from him, and it ends with his message directly to the fans. So definitely check all that great stuff out at clevelandbrowns.com. And as this free agency period progresses, we're going to continue to talk about those players and bring you great content there at clevelandbrowns.com and, of course, on the Browns app. To me, yesterday was exciting. You get a sense of some veteran leadership coming in here, some guys with a lot of confidence, and you're going to get to hear from Carlos Dansby. This is a guy who takes what he does on the field incredibly seriously, and I loved his line that said, I have a gift and I'm here to share it. I love that. The guys, I just thought, good personalities, clearly very focused and driven, and what I like is they were both talking about winning football games. That's why they're here, and I think when you've been to a Super Bowl, as each of those two guys have, that's what you're focused on, winning.
Without a doubt. And I like the fact that they didn't tiptoe around political correctness, that they're here to make an impact, and they didn't worry about the idea that they could be stepping on toes of players already here who have struggled, who will be their teammates. And what I mean by this is it's okay. I mean, you want to be good teammates, and I believe both of those guys get that and are that. I haven't heard anything to the contrary about them in their time. They're beloved teammates in their respective times. They've each been on two different teams already. So with that in mind, that's fine. But beyond that, I loved, as you said, the confidence they expressed about what they think their impact will be and what they want their teammates to understand about them and be a part of. And you heard Whitner's message of building toughness and starting with the defensive front and then all elements of the defense and the hard hitting that he wants to have as part of this defense, and a level of just trust that, hey, things, we're going to get this thing turned around. We're going to make this thing better. And I want to hear that from these guys. And yes, it is so much talk when you hear it in March, and it's got to translate into action when we get into September. But I'm good with the message being laid out because I can see that being reinforced in that locker room to some very young people who need to hear that. And there's going to be younger people coming aboard this team when this team gets through the draft. I think the thing that hit me last night, Nathan, is that this is just the start of free agency, and we like these initial moves, but look at what's in front of us. Look at what is coming in May. Look at the complementary pieces that will be joining this team in the way of talent. I think there's a lot to look forward to.
There is a lot to look forward to, and I do think, you know, that what's exciting to me is that they talked about the way to work, and I think you need that when you have an opportunity to bring in a veteran leader who's been to the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row like Whitner. I believe he can come in, and what he talked about is working. He said, when I was in San Francisco, we had some good pieces, but it never got together. When it got together is when we took our work home with us, when we became sponges, when we became one with the coaches, extensions of the coaches on the field, and in the sense that where you have done so much preparation, you have exhausted the time that you have to be the best professional you can be, that's when you get to that next level of success. And I think learning that from somebody who I think a lot of the guys on this team, they're going to be young, are going to respect Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby, and having them show them how to be professionals is important because, as you talked about, this team had the second youngest roster in the league going into this offseason. You bring in a couple of veterans, but you know you're adding maybe not 10 guys are going to make the roster, the 10 draft picks. Right. Maybe they consolidate that into 7 picks to move up here or there. But there is going to be an infusion of youth again on an already young team, so it's nice to have those veterans anchoring the team. My real question right now, and I want to throw this out there to the people listening as well, at Browns_daily and on the phone lines at 216-578-0850, is this. What do you want to see next? Because really, when you look at it, what they've done is two holes they created themselves in the sense of letting T.J. Ward and DeQuell go. You bring in Dansby and Whitner, and I believe they got better at both positions. But addressing cornerback, addressing wide receiver, addressing running back, are those things going to happen in free agency? When, with who? That's really the question I think that's out there right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I agree that those are two areas that at one point or another are going to get addressed. I'm not feeling tremendously confident that those will be the areas that this team ends up hitting. Now, it'll be interesting. A lot of reports out there about pursuit of Julian Edelman and what it might take to get him. And I'm thinking that Julian Edelman, even though we are in day three now and money is drying up in the free agent market, that maybe he is going to either maybe settle for something, and that'll be key from the standpoint of what the Browns are looking at. I think all NFL teams are actually trying to work some level of bargaining out with receivers. Now, Eric Decker getting that deal with the New York Jets, maybe that is something that's going to influence what some of these other guys are looking at, but they're not in his category. He was the number one receiver in the free agent market, so he's got his deal done, or at least he was perceived to be, and he's got a deal done with the Jets. I don't know how that plays off of any other receiver deal that might have been done. Steve Smith is now out there as a veteran, but you, again, I don't think he's going to command a ton because he's an aging guy who's definitely lost a step or two or three before that slot role. So Julian Edelman's name comes up. Running back name, and once and for all, I would love it to stop this Ben Tate in Berea stuff. You know, like people just want to keep putting him there, and the team has been emphatic in saying he's not there. He's not in the building. He's not anywhere to be found here. But each day there seems to be this Ben Tate, and I don't know who's
coming
trying to,
from a lot of national places, which is interesting.
Because I think someone's feeding it out there just to keep it alive and maybe push it in the direction of the Browns being interested in him to try to generate that interest. But by all of our understanding, that is not the case. And, you know, I think we'll see, hopefully, another move made at some point today, probably not a headline name to join the team, but I think one of the needs on a lengthy need list will be addressed before the day is over. But that all said, yeah, you want to know where they go next, possibly in free agency. I think any move that you make now in day three and beyond are going to be lower profile moves.
There are still some good names out there, though, and there are still some moves that need to be made, I think, for this team headed into the draft. And I know you can't solve all your problems in free agency, but I certainly wouldn't mind seeing a running back come in. And I do expect, with the expectation being that they draft one, a receiver. Now, it's interesting because you talked about Julian Edelman, and now the talk is that there's a strong linking of the Browns to Edelman. They're strengthening their pursuit. But with Andrew Hawkins signing, I don't know that they have Hawkins and Edelman, and now Cincinnati's got 5 days to match. It was just signed today. So real quickly, that's, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. They have till Tuesday to match this thing. Does that preclude the Browns from going after someone else? Now, the expectation is still, Adam Schefter is still saying he believes that even though they made a offer that appears to be, if the reports that Ian Rappaport put on Twitter are true, very top-heavy in the contract, the first 2 years would have a big money impact for them, for the Cincinnati Bengals to match it. The expectation still is that they match it. Does that put the Browns in a little bit of a holding pattern at that receiver spot? Because you don't want to get a pure slot guy, although Edelman can play outside. You don't want to get two slot guys in Hawkins and Edelman.
No, please don't get two slot guys. I don't want that. I don't mind getting one.
Right.
I don't mind getting one. And I know your point. And you're committed with the offer sheet to one guy in Hawkins, and therefore does it put you out of any pursuit of another guy as in Edelman? And maybe it does. And I would think this is a one at a time sort of approach at that particular position, because again, this is something the Browns, what happened previously was a travesty at the slot receiver position. The Devon Best failure was epic. So you've got to do something a lot better than that. And not only a lot better, I mean, not just any, we realize that better wouldn't take a lot, given that that was at zero or below zero. But to get somebody who is going to be productive and somebody who is going to make a difference in an offense that needs this position, given the way Kyle Shanahan approaches it, the fact that Hawkins is such a little guy, although he's fast, but the lack of size in this bigger man's game in the receiving versus defensive back area concerns me a little bit. I'll be very honest about that. But he does have speed. Edelman, another little guy. The thing I do like about Edelman is the smart route running that he does, the precision with which he plays, and the ability to consistently get open. And your slot guy, first and foremost, has to be that, and then have the surest of sure hands. And seemingly, Edelman can be that too. But I think when you're in this offer sheet world, that's the rules. You wait 5 days. I don't think this team is going to fret over the possibility of missing out on somebody while waiting to see if the Bengals do whatever they're going to do with Hawkins. I really don't, because I think if it isn't Edelman, it still could be somebody else. And I keep pointing to the fact that this draft offers the Browns multiple receiver opportunities, and I think there's your comfort level at that position.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think, though, you want to have another veteran. You don't want to come in here with just a couple of rookies. Let me say this about Andrew Hawkins, for those of you who are not familiar with him. Go on my Twitter, at Nathan Zagura. I posted a video of Andrew Hawkins on there, kind of like a highlight cut-up reel that is very, very impressive. And let me give you some of the numbers, as I am prone to do, to back it up. This guy is small. You're right, 5'7". Plays bigger than that, though, and you'll see that if you watch him on tape. 2012, he had 51 catches, 533 yards, 4 touchdowns. Last year, an ankle injury cost him much of the season, but including the playoffs, the last 3 games where Cincinnati was jockeying for position, in those last 3 games, he caught 9 passes for 131 yards, which is extrapolated to about 48 catches, 700 yards on the season, 14.5 yards a catch. Where he is exciting and where he will be different than Devon Best, where he will be different than anybody this team has had in the slot in a long, long time, is we're talking about one of the best after-the-catch receivers in the National Football League. Last year, he averaged nearly 11 yards after the catch per reception, first among all receivers with 10 catches. In 2012, 6.9 yards after the catch per reception, 8th best in the National Football League. He's got good hands, career 63% catch rate, over 7 yards a target, which for a slot guy whose average depth of target is really just a couple yards down the line, down the field, is very, very impressive. He will bring, when teams have to worry about a Josh Gordon, when they have to worry about a Jordan Cameron, and the expectation that you and I both have is that one of the first 3 picks in this draft will be dedicated to that receiver position. Mm-hmm. If they have to deal with, say, a Brandon Cooks, an Odell Beckham, a Kelvin Benjamin, Allen Robinson, et cetera, on the left side, he is going to be in a lot of positions where he can get the ball in space and make plays, and that's what he does best. And I know Kyle Shanahan would be very excited to have him as a weapon in this offense, and it is something that clearly this team is serious about, the way that they have structured this deal.
Yeah, they clearly are. Again, what I'll throw in as caution, and it's not meant to be a wet blanket, the caution is, can he stay healthy? Little guys break. And we saw it with Travis Benjamin last year, and Hawkins, as you just pointed out, missed the first half. He missed all of the preseason when he suffered this ankle injury in training camp, and then the first half of the regular season. So stay in one piece, stay healthy. That'll be the challenge for little fast guys. I love what he does after the catch. All those things you recited in numbers appeal to me too. I just know that this is a pretty decent-sized investment in a player that has got to be available to you. You've got to have him out there the majority of the season. So he's got that to prove, and we'll see how this works out for him or with regard to how the Bengals might handle it. I do agree at some point before the end of free agency, that's a spot that this team addresses. We would say running back would be another one. Tight end is on the list. I don't know that the Browns are done at linebacker. You keep hearing the name of Arthur Motes floated out there, the former Buffalo Bill, and I think he would be a nice fit for the football team, not just because of the schematic fit that he has, but the complementary piece that he can be now to Carlos Dansby. And I think now that you have Dansby and Whitner in place, you can look at what you put around them to help complement some of the things that they do, because they are key parts to this team. All right, we've got a lot more coming up for you on this Football Thursday edition. We're in free agency up to our ears. Again, you're going to hear from Carlos Dansby in about a half an hour, one of the new additions to the Browns, and we want to hear from you. 216-578-0850. And tweet us at Browns_daily. He is Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Come